children and the child welfare system. So I'm going to try to explain some of the terms that we use in child welfare as part of this. We are moving from the East Coast, the central United States, to California. And please come with me on our trip to California. And the reason that limited English proficiency is so important in California is because 5% of Californians speak a language other than English in the home, and that the percentage in the United States totally is 18%. This is 2003 data. 20% of Californians are limited in their English proficiency, or they rate their ability to speak English as less than very well. In United States, that percentage is 8%. So we have a lot of people in California who speak limited English, and it really affects their ability to use healthcare services. These percentages are for all of California. The research I did in Los Angeles is in Los Angeles, in which we have actually higher percentages than the state in general. You've already heard a lot about how language use is important in terms of accessing healthcare, and that's especially true in terms of parents, or I'm going to call them caregivers for this study, because in the child welfare system, we don't call foster parents, we call them caregivers, because they are the people who give care, and they're not necessarily the parents of the child. So parents are gatekeepers for their children's health, so what they speak is really important in terms of accessing care for the children. Also, limited English proficiency is even more a more useful tool for looking at the impact of language barriers on children's health, use of services, and access to care rather than just language. Studies have shown that caregivers with limited English proficiency have more barriers to accessing and utilizing health care, resulting in suboptimal health status of the child, low health insurance coverage, misunderstanding of diagnoses, medications, treatments, and follow-ups, adherence in general, and lack of usual source of care. And I'm looking at a population in which health insurance is almost assured. We had a very high percentage of individuals or families that had health insurance, so that much of the literature about limited English proficiency and access to care has the intermediate factor of health insurance, and that wasn't the case in this particular population. There is other literature that talks about vulnerable populations and parental limited English proficiency. For children with special care needs, language barriers can have a more harmful effect on health and healthcare because of the complexity of children's needs. Children in the child welfare system are a vulnerable population. They have the worst health status of any subpopulation of children in the United States. In many studies, study after study, they show that they have worse health status than any other, even other low-income status populations. I looked at caregivers and children in the child welfare system, both in foster care and or what we call out-of-home care, and they could be parents who were, or caregivers who were, relatives of the child, the grandparent, an aunt, or they could be unrelated paid caregivers. I also looked at caregivers who were in family maintenance, and they were the birth parents, but these children were part of the child welfare system. There has been a movement in child welfare to keep kids in their homes for as long as possible, even once they've been identified as having abuse and neglect. So there is an increasing number of children that are actually in family maintenance at home in the birth with their birth parents, or in part of our child welfare system. There has also been studies that show that these children, the children who are not out of home, not in foster care, have similar, equally terrible health. They have a similar number of physical health problems, mental health problems, and developmental problems as children who are in foster care. The goals of this study were to describe the characteristics of the demographic variables of the caregiver and child and the type of placement across English proficiency types, and then examine the association of English proficiency with English proficiency types with health-related variables and perceptions of access to care. The purpose of the study was to see how English proficiency affects access to health care for children in the child welfare system. This research took place in Los Angeles, California, and it was at a child welfare clinic, pediatric clinic, called the Community-Based Assessment and Treatment Clinic, abbreviations CATCH, which is a clinic near LA County Medical Center, LA County USC Medical Center in East LA, East Los Angeles. It is one of the six hubs in Los Angeles that serve just children in the child welfare system. These are pediatric clinics that do the initial physical exam. Two of these clinics, and CATCH being one of them, also does primary care, and it is a medical home for children in the child welfare system. We did a 20-minute interview in either Spanish or English in a private room while they were waiting at CATCH for their appointment, and the subjects were awarded a gift certificate of $20. Caregivers were eligible if they were over 18 years of age and had a child who received health care service in the United States prior to their visit to CATCH. We were actually asking questions about what kind of access barriers these caregivers had prior to coming to the hub. And the sample was 237 caregivers, and we collected the data between July 2006 and November 2006. Used two survey tools. One was an adapted version of Marin's language use subscale that looked at what the caregiver speaks, reads, speaks at home, thinks in, and speaks with friends. We divided the caregivers into English proficient, and which I call EP in these slides, moderately English proficient, and limited English proficient. I also used a tool by Glenn Flores, who is now in Madison, Wisconsin. He has an access to care tool that he used in Boston and other places that was primarily developed to look at access to pediatric care for Latino caregivers, but it has been used in other ethnic groups since then. Dr. Flores identified 10 common access problems that parents of pediatric patients identified, and these are the 10 access barriers: difficulty understanding a doctor's explanations, clinic hours, inconvenient, couldn't afford medical care, too far away, medical staff, doesn't understand culture, too difficult to make an appointment, wait too long to see a doctor, transportation, rudeness of staff, and immigration problems. And we used it. There was a Likert scale, and approximately between 5 and 8 questions per access barrier. We did statistical analysis of the data using general linear models to evaluate association between English proficiency and access to care barriers, and multiple logistic regression models were employed to compare odds of healthcare characteristics, which I'll talk about in a moment, across English proficiency levels. And we controlled for child's age, caregiver characteristics, including ethnicity, citizenship, family income, education, immigration status, and number of children under care. The caregivers that we surveyed were more likely to be female, and average age was 42 years old. The children were more likely to be male, and the average age of the children was 6.4 years. We identified the child so that if we had a different caregiver come in, that we only interviewed a caregiver of a child once. There were some statistically significant differences between family variables, and child ethnicity, 90% of the children with caregivers who were limited English proficiency were Latino or Latina. Income, 79% of the caregivers with limited English proficiency made $30,000 or less per year. Limited English proficiency caregivers were more likely to be in family maintenance than in foster care, either with relatives or with unrelated caregivers, and the number of children for limited English proficiency caregivers was greater than other groups. There were also some family variable differences. Limited English proficiency caregivers were more likely to be Latino or Latina themselves, first-generation immigrants. They were more likely to be married and have only attended high school, have a high school or less education. And English proficient caregivers were more likely to have U.S. citizenship and live in the United States for more than 30 years compared to the moderately English proficient or the limited English proficient. This is a little bit difficult to see, but and the important thing to remember is the lower the number, the higher the access barrier or the less access they have. So the problem that most caregivers identified as being the biggest access barrier was difficulty understanding doctors' explanations, which I think many of the presenters thus far have talked about. There were four access barriers that were different by English proficiency, and they included rudeness of the staff, too far away, and wait too long to see a doctor. They was rated lower as an access barrier for limited English proficiency. There also were some health-related characteristics that were different, although not statistically different. I think what's really interesting is that 87% of the of the caregivers rated their children's health as good to excellent, which is contrary to all the data about actually if these kids are sick or not. They have the highest number of chronic illnesses, yet their caregivers think they are well. 78% had a regular physician. 83% had vaccinations, and there was no difference, statistical difference in use of health services, which was looked at over how many visits per month. So the average number of visits per month was 1.5 for these children. Some of the limitations of the study is the Glenn Flores tool has no formal statistic reliability or validity, and it was a cross-sectional sample, and it may not generalize to other child welfare populations. And the fact that we interviewed all these individuals at a medical appointment limited the validity of our data because we really were looking at access problems. So these people actually got to the clinic, and we really would have been better to look at people who couldn't get to the clinic. And caregivers were asked to recall prior experiences. Some of the findings from me that will be helpful in the child welfare and the healthcare community is that even though there is a high rate of healthcare insurance for these children, there were differences in perceptions of access by English use rating. And English proficient caregivers noted that specifically a lack of ease of service was a barrier to access, whereas Latino caregivers did not note this, although there is a lot of literature that says Latino caregivers tend to rate services better than their English counterparts, and they have a high respect for authority, so they're less likely to criticize medical services. Language use was not statistically related to health-related variables, which is very different than many other studies for this population. And despite the ability to speak English or not, all caregivers found difficulty understanding doctors' explanation as the highest access barrier to care. So, like everybody has said, there has to be an improvement in the communication between doctors and child welfare caregivers, especially because this population has so many healthcare needs. And this, the integration between healthcare providers and child welfare caseworkers is really important because child caseworkers need to help caregivers interpret physicians' instructions, help them adhere to the doctor's recommendations, and interpret explanations. In California, we actually have public health nurses in all child welfare departments who have some say and have some case management abilities to help with this problem. Thank you very much. The panel can now entertain questions, and maybe we could turn on the lights, if you can, back there, so that we all can hear you. Other than I just actually got this data and I haven't really done anything, but the big problem is for us, all these clients have Medicaid, and there is a lot of difficulty in terms of healthcare providers and Medicaid patients in general in California. I sit on the American Academy of Pediatrics Foster Care Committee, and that's something they've talked about a lot, how this particular population is so needy, yet the community health providers, the physicians, really don't actually engage this population, and probably are rude to them.